You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess Vegas can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew sleep. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning and used me. I'm blinded cause I think I'm getting so huge. I need a shrink, I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think, cause
I'm friends with the monster.
Good Friday morning to you. Do you ever get that feeling that you need a weekend? Yeah, you know, I don't know, you look around and maybe what we're watching is the end of an American age in terms of the way we view government, the way we do government, and hopefully all of what we see will take us to a better place. I don't know that that's the case. I have a lot of friends who think that something violent in the country has to happen before that happens. Something bad, then something violent has to happen in the country. What would that be? I don't know. But I have friends that are convinced of that. And so the news in last 24 hours, specifically, the verdict in San Francisco. And, again, I'm not a conspiracy guy. So maybe there was, the jury obviously believes that it was an accident. Because he wasn't found guilty of anything other than a violation of having a weapon in his possession as a felon. But when you look at that, the whole case is, you know, is so disheartening. Can you imagine losing one of your kids to somebody who's been in this country illegally, been deported, let's just say, five times, has five felony convictions, and he's still in the country. And not only is he in the country, but the reason that he gets to where he is on that particular day, completely is the decision of a city in the United States to call itself, to not abide by the rule of law in the United States, but to decide for itself that it will not observe and abide by the rule of law. And so a request from immigration to detain somebody, to detain that guy who's been deported five times, let's say, I don't know the particular number. I think it's closer to seven. But anyway, who's been deported five times and who has those kind of felonies convictions. And the local law enforcement turn their back on that because they don't approve of the federal policy. And you hold your daughter in your arms while she bleeds out. And her dying words are, "Daddy, help me." I hope that that family sues the city of San Francisco. And I hope whoever the judge is and whoever the jury is finds the city culpable, and I hope they hammer that city with punitive damages. And, you know, we had a civil war in this country that decided that we are a nation, a federal nation. We're a nation of laws, that you as a state don't get to play by your own set of rules. And this whole sanctuary city thing is, I don't understand how it works in a nation of laws. Now all of a sudden that you're going to get to pick and choose. In addition to that, we wake up to the president's former national security advisor, a man who rose to the rank of lieutenant general in the United States Army, pleads guilty to lying to the FBI. Now, truth be told, I was actually shocked that that was the only charge that was levied against Michael Flynn. We have sexual harassment charges against, you know, members of Congress, and it's just utterly distasteful. Now, is this become the norm in our culture? And think about this. And this is relative to the truth in the media. I don't know that the truth is good enough anymore. You can't make a living on the truth. You can't be successful on merely the truth. It has to be polished up so it has a gloss finish. It has to be embellished. It has to be edited down. So the truth isn't good enough anymore. So a frumpy newsman like Walter Cronkite, he couldn't get a job today. Doesn't have the look, first of all. Right? Has a pretty limited scope of what he will sensationalize. And has this unwavering, you know, this unwavering, how do I say it? This unwavering kind of need to be truthful. Okay, Cronkite, you've got to get over this, okay? As the guy at CNN said, this isn't journalism school, okay? This is big money journalism. It's about dollars. It's about corporations making all kinds of money. So I mean, think about that. You know, Brian Williams was the anchor at NBC before he started lying about his own record and things he did during the wars. And then somebody called him on it. And so the truth, you know, isn't good enough. And I don't know, you know, you have all these people. I don't know, so if you can't tell, I'm a tad bit disillusioned with our nation. You know, the nation that gives us the choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, right? Worse and worser. That's what we get as a nation. It's just, I mean, I think it's pathetic what we've descended to across the board in terms of the nation sold out for money, the media, a media that sells out for money, an election system that sells out for money. You know, I mean, if you look at it like that, then it makes sense to me. This is the best news money can buy. It's not exactly loyal to the truth all the time, because we are loyal to money first. Then we're loyal to the truth. And maybe that's the way we should all adjust the prism. And if you do that, you can understand it better. Your expectation is lowered, because I will tell you what, it's pretty pathetic when you look at it. And especially, again, think about it, it's the best politicians that money can buy. Okay? And I don't mean they're all bought and paid for, but I will say this. In order to run, you got to get money. Either you have it, or you go to people who give it to you. And the people that have deep pockets in elections and give it to you are people in that are established, and they want certain things, and you've got to dance a certain tune, or else you can't go. Because you need their money. So you're bought by them. You'll carry their water, or else you won't get reelected. Because you got to have money. So maybe that should be the way, in the immortal words of Deep Throat, follow the money. Right? follow the money. And so if McNamara stops with the choir boy nonsense and just comes to grips with the fact that, hey, we ain't in Kansas anymore, Toto, that this is the government, these are the elected officials that could raise the money to influence the vote. Maybe that's how that works. And maybe you truly can't have a democracy as long as money can sway that democracy. So maybe until the United States, the reformed United States, if you will, comes to a system of electing that can't be purchased, maybe at that point we could get a democracy. Now, you know, whatever Mr. Soros wants pretty much gets done with the Democrats. I mean, those kind of deep pocket guys, right? And the same thing on the Republican side. What are their names? The Koch brothers? That Mercer guy? People are billionaires. That influence the democracy. So you only get one vote at the ballot box, but you can vote a lot with your money before that. You can shape it. You can give life to certain things because you have the money to buy it. So I think but what we watch, you know, in the last 24 hours is just pathetic relative to the media that is an important part of our democracy that's supposed to be about truth. And it appears that they are, you know, two of the three major networks have guys that are, you know, ass bags. they're ass bags. And the most powerful guy on Fox, he gets run out of town along with his boss for sexual harassment. Now, does that mean they're bad news people? That's a good question. Does one necessarily implicate the other? So, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson on reports that the White House is considering a plan to oust him. It's laughable. Now, that report has been confirmed by multiple sources, by the Washington Post and the New York Times. And the chief of staff of the White House has denied it. So, I guess we'll see what happens. Anyway, a good Friday morning to you. We'll check the news. And again, the news headlines, for the DOD, for the Marine Corps are, you know, they're not too many good news headlines today. So we'll go through those and add more fuel to the fire. That's why I say I've been up reading the news, and it's one of those days when you keep looking at headlines going, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Soon the White House will make some kind of statement on Mike Flynn. I'll say that I thought that he would be charged, given some of the stories that have been written with his ties to Turkey. I thought that the charges would be much more substantial. Yet to be revealed are any charges that will take place, be filed against his son, who seems to be quite the loose cannon. So, with all of that said, and I don't know, just the verdict in San Francisco, I don't know, maybe it was the right verdict. Maybe it was an accident. And so I'll be curious. So I drop a pistol and it kills somebody and I'm innocent. It was an accident. We all walk away. It certainly wasn't an accident that he was in the country. And I that poor family, you know, your heart breaks for them to lose one of your children like that. Because these sanctuary cities decide that they'll operate on their own I don't get that. I don't get that, and I don't get that the federal government has no recourse in that. That's just the way it is. You know, so California opts out of this. Los Angeles opts out of this. But, you know, when you cease to be a nation of laws and legal precedent, I think that's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous road that you head down as a nation. And I guess we're headed down that road. So, good morning to you on a on obviously a pessimistic day. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem this morning. This is a little morale booster.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, wave us home. God bless America. My home, sweet home, God bless America, my home, sweet home, done, Dad.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
/7:21 on the West Coast. 10:21 on the East Coast. 53 and cloudy in Quantico. Sunny and 63 at Camp Lejeune. Cloudy and 52 at Gunner's House in Texas. Sunny and 38 up in Montana. Sunny and 51 at Camp Pendleton. I'm sorry, at 29 Palms. Sunny and 45 at Pendleton, where cool air continues to be the story. Okinawa continues to cool off. 63 in clouds late at night there. Raqqa, cloudy in 59, so they break 60 for the first time. Marja, clear in 56 in the city of Opium. In Southern California, in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, which is the home of All Marine Radio, 52 degrees under fair sky. Winds are calm. Looking for a high of 70 today. 68 with clouds on Saturday and 68 with clouds on Sunday. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. We'll check news headlines on a dark day for the democracy. Oh, my God. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug, scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOC community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Every time I think of you.
Trying to play soothing music to make myself feel better today. Best government that money can buy. And then you look at, do you think anybody on Capitol Hill is shocked about John Conyers? Of course not. They all know. Same thing with Matt Lauer, you know? NBC now scrambling. Saying this is the first report we've had of Matt Lauer, you know. Then they walk that back. This is the first report that current management has got about them. Trust me, they knew. But again, he's the franchise, so you really don't want to go there with the franchise, do you? The answer to that question is no. We don't want to go there with the franchise. All right, let me read you an email. Somebody else shares my concern. The world today. Yeah, they are loyal to money first. But you keep leaving out ideology when you rant about this. The saving grace is that an individual reporter's desire to scoop a story and forward his or her career trumps all. I don't think there's any difference in ideology. I think they're the same people. The San Francisco verdict is heartbreaking but not surprising. As you point out, the fact that this dude was even there on the boardwalk is the true crime. I believe that. And again, I'm not a conspiracy guy, so I would give the jury the benefit of the doubt. You know, and so, but I didn't think that, let's just say that's me. Let's just say that I find that gun, whatever, under a chair, under a cloth, and I pick it up and I dropped it, and the round ricochets and kills her. Am I not, is that just an accident, and we all go home? I'm not responsible for that? I didn't think that's how that worked. I thought you were responsible for that. I am distressed over the Tillerson news. I inwardly hope this is a White House scheme to expose leakers. Did you see the story about General Nicholson? Yeah, I did. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute. He's a friend of mine. Yes. So, yeah, my point about breaking news. The second-ranking Senate Republican, John Cornyn of Texas, says the grand old party has the votes to pass sweeping tax overhaul. Rex Tillerson, in the last hour, has been quoted as saying, that the stories about him being replaced as the Secretary of State are laughable. And I agree with that. But, you know the only... what I think what we can all agree on is that Tillerson has become less and less... that he's become the shrinking man at the State Department. Now, part of that is his style. He's not the flamboyant guy that John Kerry was, that Hillary Clinton was. He has very much a low key style. But the next question is certainly, you know, is there smoke where there is that fire between he and the president? And the president's little tweet about, it's okay, Rex, we'll do the heavy lifting, that one, or words to that effect. Yeah, that doesn't bode well for him. So I you know, who knows? I guess film at 11. And we'll find out then. But the everything I see about that guy I like in terms of being solid and whatnot. And I like the way that he and Secretary Mattis are always seem to be on the same page. That makes me happy. Yeah. In a world where I'm not very happy, that makes me happy. So he seems like, you know, look, an Eagle Scout. I didn't know anything about scouts, okay? But I learned about them because I went and spoke to them once. Eagle Scout, right? If somebody walks in and tells you that they're an Eagle Scout, you should hire them. They are good people. And they've been good people since they were little kids. I went and spoke in Indiana. I've told the story, but I'll tell it again real quick. My youngest sister's ex-husband, was a Marine. And so I got back from one of my deployments to Iraq, and he called me and he said, hey, would you come and speak at our Eagle, our Scout of the Year presentation? I said, I'd be honored to. And it was a chance for me to go, you know, do something that my mom could see. Because my mom was living in Indianapolis at the time, where they were. So they fly me to Indianapolis, and on the day, they have a pretty big, they're old money Indiana, like 1850s money, started the first bank in Indiana, stuff like that. So they had this house that looked like Mount Vernon on this huge, huge, you know, plot of land. They have riding stables, and they had a track that that you could ride a horse around. And in the middle of that, this beautiful green lawn, and they set up a big party tent in there because it's summer in Indiana. It's hot and humid, and there's going to be a lot of people there. So, you know, I start meeting, you know, the scouts and different people. So I throw on my uniform. They ask me, like, could you wear your camouflage uniform? And I said, sure. So I throw on my camouflage uniform, and And as I said, my mom was there, and I think two of my three sisters were there. And I was going to give this little speech. And so I start meeting the Eagle Scouts, right? And the scout, I wish I could remember his name, who was the Scout of the Year, he raised the money and built a children's playground in the Women's State Penitentiary in Indiana. What was he, 15, 16, 17, something like that? And I'm reading about this, and I'm like, holy smokes, man. This is what an Eagle Scout is? Well, Rex Tillerson's an Eagle Scout. He's one of those guys. I mean, they do crazy things. I mean, incredibly impressive. One of the coolest parts, one two cool parts of the day, the trophy, as it turns out, is named for an Eagle Scout that was killed in Vietnam. He was a Marine First Lieutenant. He had been wounded. So his brother and his mom are there. He had been wounded, and he had gone back. It wasn't a slight wound. On the Richter scale of wounds, it was, you know, some kind of moderate wound. And his brother told me, his brother probably in his 70s, and his mother, you know, well, brother probably in his late 60s, which would make his mom, you know, mid-90s or early 90s, about 24 years older. So let's say she's around 90, because she was full of brown, walking, functioning woman. And, you know, he comes up and he introduces himself and he says, it's really nice to have a Marine here to give this trophy. You know, it's named after my brother. And I said, tell me about your brother. So he tells me, he said, you know, my mom's really never gotten over the fact that he was wounded and he could have come home, but he stayed. And so I met his mom, and then we do the ceremony and I speak. It was great. And two very cool things happened to me afterwards. I sat and I ate dinner or lunch with the brother and the mother of the Marine who the trophy's named after. And so we were sitting, and at one point I turned to her and I said, could I tell you something? And she said, of course. I said, it never occurred to your son that he could come home. And she looked at me. And I said, when he was wounded, his only thought was that his guys were out there without him. And he knew that his decisions would save their lives. And he would have been sick to his stomach that they were fighting without him, because those are his Marines. And so when you think about him not coming home and going back there, that thought never entered in his head. And I said, I know, because I've seen it 1,000 times. And the kind of young man that he was exactly where he wanted to be. And she looked at me, and she didn't say a word for not a few minutes, but for a few seconds. And she says, I never thought of it like that. I only thought that he could have come home. I said it never entered into his head. And then later on, she came up to me before she left, and she said, I want to thank you for saying that to me. She said, I never thought of it like that. My only thought was, why didn't he come home? I said, well, I said, I can only tell you that because I've seen it so often. I said, and I would tell you that if he wasn't an Eagle Scout. But knowing now the pedigree that he comes from, there was never a doubt in his mind where he was going. And it wasn't back to Indiana. It was back to his Marines. And she gave me a hug. And then the other cool thing that happened to me was, you know, my mom had never heard me speak or anything like that. And my mom really made me the person that I am today. You know, she introduced me to reading. She knew I loved the Civil War. She'd buy me books. I still have books that she bought me, like, she bought me in a drugstore, books about the Civil War. You know, she put my name in them. She would pay, for all the books I would get from the Scholastic Book Club, and it was every World War II book, every book on leadership. And so my mom, Kathleen, Corporal Punishment Kathleen, as she's affectionately known, she made me who I am. So she came up to me. Oh, actually, I went over and sat by her. And she looked at me and she smiled. She said, "I liked your speech." And I said, "Thanks, Mom." And she said, "It was very good." And it was, you know, it was the only time I think she ever saw me in a professional capacity. Every other time I was just hanging out at her house or whatnot, because I never was a professional near her, and she was always someplace else. So very, you know, cool thing. So anyway, and aside from the Rex Tillerson thing. Yeah, I don't know what the conflict there is. But you know, guys like Tillerson, Kelly, and that's why to me I'm curious about this whole thing, because Kelly, you know, he's one of those guys, he's not going to lie. So if he, you know, you ask him, you know, "Are you planning, you know, to," and he says no, then that's the truth. You're not going to catch him in a lie. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Film at 11. Stories in interestingly enough, there's a story in military times that doesn't make either the Marine Corps times, and it doesn't make the early bird. And that's the story about Major General Nicholson. And so we'll get to that here in a minute. So let me tell you what's going to happen on the program. We'll thankfully we'll talk a little food this morning. So the All Marine Radio head chef will join us, and we'll hopefully talk about something else other than current events. Then the gunner will join us, and I'm sure if I know Mike. No, I don't, you know, let me just say this. It's going to be one of two things. Either we're going to burn it down, or Mike's going to say, "I can't go there." Let's talk about something happy. Let's talk about pets. Let's talk about indigestion. Let's talk about anything else other than current events, because I can't take it. All right. News headlines around the Marine Corps. Marines are looking for new recruits in Germany. The Marine Corps will operate a recruiting substation at a U.S. Army base in Germany. Maybe you can be one of us. Starting on February 15th, the Marine Corps will operate a recruiting substation at Kleber Kasern, a U.S. Army base in Clearstauten, Germany. A Marine stationed in Germany had suggested opening a recruiting facility because Americans were returning to the U.S. to enlist in the Corps. Neves told the Navy Times on Thursday, "It's a market we're not really in. We're not really sure how it's going to go. They proposed it and figured it will save the individuals that are interested a lot of money and time. Only Americans, such as children of U.S. service members and contractors and other Americans living in Europe, can enlist in the Marine Corps," he said. So, evidently, there's enough interest there that the Marine Corps will do that. Interesting. Gomer Pyle. Jim Nabors. Died in Hawaii at the age of 87, his husband announced. The Gomer Pyle, USMC. I saw a little video clip that the Marine Corps put out, and it was a clip from the program, and he was an incredible singer, right? In fact, I think before the Indianapolis 500, they still play his "Back Home in Indiana" because he's a native of the state of Indiana. He sings that before the Indianapolis 500, the recording of him. Nabors died peacefully in his home in Hawaii. The his husband said that his health had been declining over the past years, but his voice, absolutely incredible. There was, so the Marine Corps put out this audio of him singing, I think, The Impossible Dream with the president's own in the background. And it, I think it's an episode in the show because Sergeant Carter's, like, in the background, and then Gomer walks out on stage. Gomer, by the way, was an expert rifleman with with his National Defense Service Medal on his chest. In the program, he's a PFC. He's not exactly a private. Because, you know, they constantly refer to it as Private Pyle. Golly. And, you know, I grew up watching Gomer Pyle, you know, and all those kind of World War Rat Patrol, Hogan's Heroes. You know, that was daily fare when you grew up in the 60s. Gomer Pyle, USMC. But an incredible voice. The video is out there. I'll see if I can find that. Maybe we'll play it later. The Marine Corps announced some uniform changes. I'm not sure anybody cares. Let's see. Instructions will follow on how the gear will be fielded. Neller approved making watch caps, gloves, and insert sea bag items, according to Marin Admin. All right, so not a whole lot there. The artillery Marines who have been operating in Syria, some 400 of them, not only artillery Marines, but infantry Marines that are assigned to provide security for them, they'll be returning back to the continental United States. Probably the biggest story, a couple other headlines. General Mattis has been the one that consistently says that diplomacy with North Korea hasn't failed when people keep saying that. He's the one that continues to put out there, no, diplomacy still is on the front burner. And again, he put that out again here yesterday. Also, probably one of the most intriguing things that happened in the news yesterday is, and it's kind of benign, so yay. U.S. troops get freeze-dried plasma for battlefield bloodshed. So, kind of interesting innovations in health technology, in particular battlefield technology, as a lot of money has been dumped into blood clotters and things like that. All of the U.S. military special operations fighters are now being sent to war zones with freeze-dried blood plasma, a crucial addition to first aid kits that can prevent badly wounded troops from bleeding to death on the battlefield. Last month, all Marine Corps special ops units began carrying freeze-dried blood plasma into the field. The plasma helps clot blood and can prevent badly wounded troops from bleeding to death on the battlefield. It saved Corporal Josh Hargis's life. He lost part of both legs in 2013 when he stepped on a landmine during a midnight raid in Afghanistan. The medic and his ranger unit used the freeze-dried plasma to keep him alive on the battlefield for more than 90 minutes until he could be evacuated by helicopter. The medic, Sergeant Brian Anderson, said having plasma ready made the difference in helping staunch the internal bleeding after the blast shattered Hargis's pelvis. You know, I will tell you this. I can't tell you the number of Marines that we lost when you had pelvic injuries, and it was a race really between the vascular surgeon and them bleeding out, plasma being dumped into them, and organ failure. So when you can add plasma that helps clot and assist the vascular surgeon in saving somebody's life, that's huge. The plasma Anderson used was stored in a thick glass bottle and kept in a kit with IV lines and distilled water. The medic has to pour water into the bottle, swirl it around, and inject it. Before his injury, Hargis used to think that freeze-dried blood equipment took up too much room in the medic's bag. It really seems like something that is a little unrealistic to carry out to the field, but it ended up working out, said Hargis, who lives in Payton, Colorado, with his wife and kids. A photo of Hargis's commanding officer giving him the Purple Heart went viral. And there's kind of the apparatus now. The updated handout photo provided by Teleflex, which develops the product, shows a type of freeze-dried plasma being developed similar to what U.S. military units would carry with them on the battlefield. The kit containing powdered plasma, sterile water, and tubing for injection into humans is being developed by a civilian company. So there you have it. Wow. That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. And then still being reported is the report that Senator Franken groped an Army veteran during the USO tour. So those are all in Marine Corps Times. The top five stories in the early bird are this: one, armed U.S. drones start to fly over Niger. All right, the United States and Niger have reached an agreement permitting armed American military drones for use against jihadists, blah, blah, blah. So that's a good thing. The Kremlin, according to the Kremlin, U.S. is trying to turn oligarchs against Putin. Russian President Vladimir Putin believes that the United States is trying to drive a wedge between the Kremlin and his wealthiest allies, according to his team. And you know what that means? That means Putin will announce some, you know, some more draconian measures to keep this from happening. Already the United States media is prohibited from contacting members of the Russian government. Right. Good luck with the American media. The Argentina has ended its search for its missing submarine, acknowledging that there's no hope that they'll be found. I'm sorry, not their search, but their rescue mission. Acknowledging that there's no hope that they'll be found alive. So that story. This is another one of those stories that was troubling yesterday. When it hit the media. In an email that was sent to some 7,000 members of Special Forces units, this email alleged that the Green Berets have lowered training standards and the leaders of that training have exhibited moral cowardice as the school puts people through that aren't qualified. The accusations were lodged in an anonymous email. It was sent by a writer purporting to be speaking on behalf of an undisclosed number of trainers at the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare School at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. In the letter, the author says that over the past 2 years, a drive to increase the number of Special Forces soldiers has resulted in fundamental training standards being removed and the training cadre fear that it could threaten the future of the force. The anonymous author alleges that the school's commander, Major General Kurt Sontag, and other members of his command staff have put careerism ahead of building a quality force in their efforts to produce a more elite Green Berets. This quote, this is from the letter. The school has devolved into a cesspool of toxic, exploitive, biased, and self-serving senior officers who are bolstered by submissive, psychopathic, and just as culpable enlisted leaders, according to the email shared with the Army Times and other media outlets. They have doggedly succeeded in two things: furthering their careers and ensuring that Special Forces are more prolific but dangerously less capable than ever before. Sontag penned a response that both refutes many of the accuser's points, defends the quality of the graduates during his tenure, and expresses concern that some issues raised in the email that warrant further evaluation. Specifically, the email alleges that a command directive at the school bars remedial training or physical punishment for student infractions. Instead, the directive says only counseling or UCMJ actions should be taken. The email author further alleges that students are no longer required to pass physical standards, such as a 15-foot rope climb while carrying 25 pounds, a 5-mile run under 40 minutes, and a 12-mile ruck march in under 3 hours, among other things. The writer alleges certain students, who he lists by name in the email, tried to bribe and blackmail instructors into passing them when they failed events. The email also offers examples of students with connections or family or friends in command positions that helped them graduate when they had in fact failed. Well, so that's pretty disturbing. The other story there's another story now. Air Force Academy Sexual Assault Prevention Office blasted for derelict management. You know, this stuff is like, it's crazy stuff that you're reading. And then let me find the here's the other story. I'm not sure why this story doesn't break squelch on either Marine Corps Times, or it doesn't even appear under the Marine section of the Early Bird. But nonetheless, there's a Marine colonel by the name of Dan Wilson that has been sentenced to, I want to say, 5 years for sexually abusing a 6-year-old girl at Camp Lejeune in the summer of 2016. Months before the crime was committed, Wilson had been rapidly removed from a key leadership position in Darwin, Australia, after just 10 days amid reports of drunken misbehavior and inappropriate comments. A report from the Inspector General of the Marine Corps, newly obtained by military.com, faults the commanding general of 3MEF, Lieutenant General Larry Nicholson, for neglecting to investigate Wilson's actions in Australia more thoroughly, substantiating that he failed to report the officer's misconduct to senior Marine leadership and the military justice branch. It's a finding likely to have profound career implications for one of the service's most combat-seasoned and widely admired generals. In a statement to military.com, Nicholson acknowledged the findings of the oversight agency and owned his role in the Australian proceedings. Quote, this is quoting from Nicholson's statement, upon learning of the officer's actions in Australia, he was fired and promptly recalled to Okinawa. I accept responsibility for not taking follow-on administrative actions and for not placing this officer on the officer disciplinary notebook. So it then goes along. So it's Nicholson is 3MEF. General Toulin is Marine Forces Pacific, MAR-4 PAC. Nicholson and Toulin were not made aware of his bad behavior until February 24th. After he had sent the, quote, joke email and sent inappropriate text to the female officer, Toulin was informed first, and he called Nicholson, who was elsewhere in the Pacific, to tell him of the problem. Toulin told investigators that he had been informed about Wilson's drinking and text messages, but not the exchange of risque photographs or other inappropriate comments. Quote, I had the conversation between FMF, I mean, I was most concerned, to be honest, about the drinking and the behavior and the image that Wilson was projecting to the Australians. But then on top of that, when I heard about inappropriate emails to an Australian soldier, I said, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. That's the reason we should send him home. Nicholson maintained to the investigators that some of the allegations against Wilson were vague and others lacked credibility. Colonel Wilson told Lieutenant General Nicholson that he was a victim of personality conflicts and individuals who did not understand his sense of humor, the IG report stated. Lieutenant General Nicholson viewed this narrative as credible and told the IG Marine Corps that he viewed the allegations that emerged in Darwin as he said, she said, and that he believes Colonel Wilson did nothing criminal, nothing illegal. He hadn't broken the UCMJ. He had just been stupid. Between Tulin and Nicholson, there was consensus. Wilson needed to leave Australia first, but further investigation was not required. He was en route back to Okinawa on February 27th. An unidentified officer interviewed in the investigation highlighted the political backdrop against which these decisions unfolded. Quote, contextually, our relationship in Darwin, Australia, I don't want to say it is tense, but it's always been somewhat politically charged, the officer says. We are there as guests. So you can read the rest of it, but the bottom line is Wilson was never skylined after this incident, and he went back to Camp Lejeune, and he then sexually assaulted a six-year-old. And so as people pull the string, and this is how this gets happened. Adrienne Perry, the mother of the girl Wilson was convicted of abusing, who has since come forward publicly to advocate for military sexual assault victims, told Military.com she saw a command cover-up in what had transpired in Australia. Wilson's misconduct in Australia warranted serious punitive action. How he was able to do what he did in Australia and then be given the position as the 2MEF operations officer is beyond me. As for how events might have unfolded differently if Wilson had been marked for discipline in Australia, there's little doubt in Perry's mind. Their failure to punish Wilson cost one of our daughters her innocence, and to me, that's unforgivable. We believe that if 3MEF Command had properly punished Wilson for his misconduct in Australia, he would never have been here to harm our daughter. Michael Flynn has pled guilty to lying to the FBI. Pretty amazing. As I said, what's astounding about Michael Flynn is this. When you're an intel guy, you know all those rules inside and out, right? If you're a grunt, you may not be too familiar with them. But if you go into that world of intel stuff, you should get familiar with them pretty quick because your security clearance is your lifeblood. You start mucking around with that, and you muck around with your livelihood. And so I don't want to say those guys are choir boys, but for the most part, they're choir boys. And they know the rules of what they can and can't do. And it's just, you know, Flynn's arrogance is to me, is unbelievable. I guess is the arrogance of some of these other people that in the highest levels of our government think that they can somehow or other pull the wool over people's eyes. Anyway, we'll take a break. That's right. We'll talk food coming up next. The All Marine Radio. The All Marine Radio head chef.
Oh, I forgot to leave some lights on. Can you open my Lutron app and turn on Smart Away?
How does that work?
What's that?
It randomly turns light on.
I don't even know. Somebody's playing a commercial. That's awesome. These websites that start these automatic commercials, come on, man. Stop doing that. That's ridiculous. Screwing up my program. Anyway, we'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.